Dead Center,
Book 2.
Even the Wrong Can Be Right Sometimes, by author Owen Jones, narrated by Ian King, and published by Tech Time. Dedication. This is dedicated to my wife, Pranom Jones, for making my life as easy as she can. She does a great job of it. Karma will repay everyone in just kind. Inspirational quotes. Believe not in anything simply because you have heard it. Believe not in anything simply because it was spoken and rumored by many. Believe not in anything simply because it was found written in your religious texts. Believe not in anything merely on the authority of teachers and elders. Believe not in traditions because they have been handed down for generations. But after observation and analysis, if anything agrees with reason and is conducive to the good and benefit of one and all, accept it and live up to it. Gautama Buddha. Great Spirit, whose voice is on the wind, hear me. Let me grow in strength and knowledge. Make me ever behold the red and purple sunset. May my hands respect the things you have given me. Teach me the secrets hidden under every leaf and stone, as you have taught people for ages past. Let me use my strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Let me always come before you with clean hands and an open heart, that as my earthly span fades like the sunset, my spirit shall return to you without shame, based on a traditional Sioux prayer. Copyright 2015, Owen Jones. The right of Owen Jones to be identified as the author of this work has been asserted in accordance with the Section 77 and 78 of the Copyright Designs and Patents Act 1988. The moral rights of the author has been asserted. In this work of fiction, the characters and events are either the product of the author's imagination or they are used entirely fictitiously. Some places may exist, but the events are completely fictitious. Chapter 1, Bangkok, Thailand. Michael Adams, a medium-ranking civil servant at the British Embassy on Wireless Road in Bangkok, put a hand over his left ear and tapped the tabletop between himself and his Thai assistant, Jenny, who was sitting opposite him. She noticed the movement out of the corner of her eye, smiled, pushed the pause button on her wireless headset and waited for Michael to say something.
"What's that racket? We're not expecting visitors today, are we? Not that I know of, Mike."
She was allowed to be informal when they were alone at work, as they were now, or at the home they shared not far from the embassy. They had been working together for 2 years and were making plans to get married before the end of the year. She reached out and put her left hand on his.
"Shall I phone down to find out what's happening?"
He smiled, took her hand in his and nodded back. The sound of the rotor blades were deafening in the small top-floor office where they were processing suspicious visa application forms. As she started to move her right hand towards the telephone, he mouthed the words,
"Yes, please, you beautiful."
But he didn't get the chance to finish the sentence or return her adoring smile. There was a loud crash directly above them, which sent a spray of small, sharp pieces of masonry to cut their faces, and something flashed before their eyes a millisecond before it took their conjoined hands off, cut the desk in two, thus breaking their legs, and disappeared through the floor. As large lumps of concrete hurtled down on them from above, there was a terrific explosion from one of the floors below, which squashed them like mosquitoes. First against the walls behind them, and then against what was left of the ceiling and the roof. If they had been alive, like a few in the building still were, they might have witnessed a second reinforced 50-gallon drum plummeting through the same hole and exploding into an inferno of flames. There was no need for a third. No one had survived the last one. But Mike and Jenny were already on their way to heaven, still holding hands, still unaware of what had befallen them and all their colleagues.
"Have the Americans got any more intel than we have?"
asked the Prime Minister Hugh Lloyd of his Foreign Minister Richard Wilkinson at an emergency meeting at 9:30 a.m., about 40 minutes after the events had occurred.
"No, sir, or they're not saying anything yet, but I suspect that they're just as much in the dark as we are."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?